You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The car feature.
It's 19 minutes to 3 o'clock. Stuart Johnston is back. He's a veteran motoring journalist and Car Magazine Johannesburg's correspondent. And today we're looking at some of the world's rarest cars. The rarest car in the world is the Ferrari 250 Gran Turismo Omologato. It is a rare diamond. It is valued, or its all-time selling record price, in fact, was $70 million. Wrap your mind around that for a vehicle. It's amongst an interesting class of cars. And why are they on the list of the rarest cars, you might wonder? Well, that's what Stuart will be explaining in a moment, because some cars are fast, others are simply beautiful, and some are just hard to come by. And if the history of cars tells us anything, it's that some of the best models ever, in fact, ever made, have only been built in small quantities. And that adds, it certainly adds to the desirability, the prestige, and of course, the present day value. Yeah, like $70 million. We've got Stuart joining us now. If you've got any questions or comments about the cars that we'll be talking about, then do give us a call. You're curious about rare cars, 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs, then your WhatsApps and your voice notes on 072-702-1702. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, Zonia.
Yes, welcome back. These conversations just keep getting more and more fun and more fascinating. What a list of impressive cars. I spent part of my morning, in fact, just staring at these beauties, some I'd never even seen before. So there's a lot to discover out there in the world of cars. So this list of rare cars, just a top line summary of what we'll actually be diving into.
Well, you know, the ones that I've chosen, Zania, aren't nearly as rare as the GTO, the Ferrari GTO that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
which I think is one of the most beautiful cars ever. And there were, I think, a total of, there's a bit of a debate about how many exactly were produced, but I think it was about 36 or so, somewhere around that figure.
Wow.
So there are some that are even rarer than that, but I think most people agree that's the most desirable cars. The cars I've chosen are more your common or garden variety rare cars that you might come across or stumble across here in South Africa.
So
I don't know where you'd like me to start.
Let's talk about the GTO first, and then we'll get into some of the other cars. I mean, how does a car get to have a record selling price of $70 million?
I think the rarity is the whole thing. You know, the rarer something is, but it's obviously got to be good in the first place. It's got to be a desirable car in the first place. And then the rarer those cars are, well, then, you know, the cars are going to be bidding higher and higher and higher to actually own one. And that's how some of these amazing prices are reached, actually, on auction. And that car was built in 1962. And, in fact, one of them actually raced here at Kyle Army in 1962 and won the race first time out. So it was a car that you could actually race and drive on the road. In fact, the guy that shipped it out here from the UK, they landed in Cape Town off of the sailing boat, the seagoing boat in those days, and then he drove it up to Kyle Army to actually race it here.
Wow.
From Cape Town.
Yes.
So that's how things have changed. But yeah, it remains one of the most beautiful cars. 3 liters, 6 liter carburetors, fantastic sound, beautiful Barani spoked wire wheels. I mean, the list just goes on and on. How beautiful that car is.
So 36, as you said, about 36 cars. Do we find volumes around that region in general? What kind of volumes are we talking about if we're going to talk about rarity?
I mean, you can get some that are even just one-offs, you know. But I would reckon anything rare is probably less than 1,000 made. I would think that's a good benchmark to aim at, you know.
Right.
And cars like that, especially these rare, you know, that was a supercar of its day, like a Bugatti Veyron or something like that today. And Pagani's Honda, so they don't make them in great quantities, whereas something beautiful. Some of your more modern Ferraris, they make them, you know, in the many thousands these days. So that's, you know, that's what has changed. They've become far more prolific. I think Ferrari, I think their production level is about 10,000 in a year. They won't go higher than that. With Porsche, you know, they're much higher than that. They make about 100,000 cars a day. Still very, very desirable. How it actually happens with some of these cars is you get a very special edition of that model. And, you know, those were some of the ones in the South African context I wanted to talk about.
Because yes.
If you stumble across one of these in a small town or a barn or somewhere, these cars are very much really worthwhile, you know, well worth collecting.
Yeah, those stories are absolutely fascinating. I mean, one of our car contributors said that there was a guy who's a helicopter pilot. He was flying over some farmlands in Limpopo, and then there were two Gusheshes just parked in just there, you know, in the middle of this farm. And then he quickly noted the area, and then soon people came knocking, you know, wanting to buy these cars from this owner. So just the stories about how people stumble on these cars are fascinating.
These rare cars, they get really grumpy to come and hassle them about trying to buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if they're unrestored, they still say, no, restore it one day. And sort of 10 years later, and you see the car looks even worse than it did when you first spotted it from the helicopter, you know.
So let's look at your list. You've got the Jaguar E-Type. It looks so exotic.
I want to talk about.
Yeah.
It's not a very, it's a rare car in South Africa because you had to import it there. Back from 1961 through until, probably the early 70s. But the thing is, it's actually their 60th birthday this year. So at the end in December, it'll be the 60th birthday. And if you ever Google a picture of an E-Type, well, you know what it looks like. It's also one of the most beautiful cars on earth, you know. So they'll be celebrating their 60th birthday here at the end of this year. And there'll actually be a couple of celebrations for the car in the various major centers. So just keep an eye on social media. Have a look, and you can probably pop along and have a look and see some of the gatherings of these E-Types. I would say a couple of hundred left of E-Type Jaguars in South Africa today. So they've been very well preserved and well restored, and also absolutely beautiful. Sex on wheels was what they used to call that car in the 60s.
No, what's his name? The character from, what's his name? Tugden, please help me. The guy from $1 million. Mr. Sexy, when you say that this is a sex on wheels kind of car, I just think of his on-screen character. Someone will help me with him. Then I see you have the Fiat Uno Turbo. I can't believe it. The Uno, Stuart.
Uno is a really low-budget car. And it was built to be the cheapest car around, which meant it rattled and it sort of fell apart quite a lot, you know, under normal usage. But it had a very strong engine and gearbox. And the Uno Turbo was a rare model of that car. That's what, getting back to what I said, sometimes you get a rare model of this car. And they also didn't handle very well. So a lot of them were written off in accidents. They came out in about 1990. And it's very rare today that you'd find a really good example of an Uno Turbo. But if you do, check it out, and if it's doesn't need too much work, then it's well worth buying, because these are becoming very collectible cars, and they go like a bat out of hell. And they're a lot of fun to drive. They're kind of unruly car, you know. The steering tugs you all over the road as you put your foot down, and it's a lot of fun.
And who would want that even today? It reminds me of in my early days of working, there's a colleague that lived not too far from where I stayed. So he'd always give me a lift, and he drove an Uno. I mean, it wasn't an old car, but it already felt battered by then. So,
yes, exactly. Even 10, 15 years ago, they were battered already.
Yeah.
They weren't very sought after cars. Well, everyone just used them as, you know, kind of like a shopping trolley.
Yeah.
But the turbo is the one. It's got little ABOS badges. Those, it's a motif of a scorpion. That's the identifying mark. If you see ones with little scorpion badges on it, mag wheels, and a little say turbo somewhere on the car, that's the one to buy. So that's as far as we know, go.
Mavusan has just reminded me. Yes, I was looking for Mike Myers's on-screen character. Yes, Austin Powers. Yes, yeah, baby.
Austin Powers. Yeah,
with that six on wheels Jaguar.
He had a E-Type that was all painted in a Union Jack flag, I think. As far as I remember.
And then the Ford Capri. I suspect that there are lots of stories about this, particularly from that 70s era.
Yes, Ford Capri was also, it was a coupe that you could buy. It wasn't very expensive. It was a little bit more expensive than a normal sedan Cortina. Mm. But it was a two-door coupe. But then South Africans were motorsport mad in those days. They built about close to 500 special examples of these called the Ford Capri Piranha. It's roughly named after the fish, but they spelled piranha wrong. They didn't spell it the right way, which is quite funny.
Stuart? Oh, man.
They didn't do much to the brakes, unfortunately. Mm. And this was a rocket ship. It was actually capable of that aforementioned Ferrari that you talked about, the GTO. It was capable of going around to Kyle Army just as fast as that Ferrari GTO. And this was only a few years down the road. And I think it cost 4,900 rand in those days, which was a lot. But then a Ferrari would have cost you 8,000 rand, you know. So it was a huge performance bargain. And, today it's extremely collectible. You know, especially in the UK. For some reason, the UK enthusiasts love these cars. So if you've got one, they can go for anything up to 1 million rand today for a perfect one.
Wow. Piranha can go for that much there.
Hey?
You're saying the Piranha in the UK can go up to that much in the UK?
It could, I remember about 10 years ago, one was for sale for about, I think, 400,000 rand, and that was about 10 years ago. So, I would say it could easily catch 1 million plus today, a perfect Capri Piranha, And it was a purely South African car. They only made them in South Africa, but they've become world famous because you couldn't get a V8 Capri anywhere else in the world. You could get one with a little four-cylinder or the main, the biggest one was a V6 engine. And this thing was a rocket ship on wheels. So, it's also got very special details, lots of little stripes and louvers on the back window and a black bonnet and all these special details that us enthusiasts love,
Yeah. A car that I've always had a soft spot for, and I think it's because of this particular model, is the Alfa Romeo, the 1983 on your list. I mean, the cars from Alfa Romeo from that era are just simply iconic.
They are, That one was also, once again, only South African build, that 3.0. It has to, if you get the Alfa Romeo V6 2.5, then you could get them anywhere in, in the UK and in Europe. But the Alfa GT V6 3.0, now that was only built in South Africa. Again, in numbers of about 250, somewhere around there.
Wow.
Maybe 300. And because it was, they had to import the Alfa local agents imported these special kits from Italy and then built the special model here. And once again, that's another car that's, if you open up a classic car magazine from the UK, you'll find articles on this car. And it was, it was traced extensively. And Alfa Romeo guys are funny. Alfa Romeos are notorious for giving niggling mechanical problems. They were in any case in those days. I think they're a lot better today, actually. In fact, I know they are. But the basics of the car were fantastic. The engine was powerful. It didn't break down for no reason, the engine. I'm talking about other, like the windows used to fall inside the doors, but the engine kept on going, But they just had this feeling, when you drove it, that car talked to you the whole time. I'm sure you've experienced this with a
Yeah, when a car talks to you, especially after last week's chat, I'll never forget our previous chat with you, Stuart, and we had a caller who said that the GTI, you know, it just talks back to you. And then on this list as well, I think the BMW does get a lot of attention, but I want to get to the Mitsubishi Tridia Turbo. I mean, okay, the Alfa Romeo, yes, it had its unique features and so on, but when we look at that Mitsubishi, it's not the prettiest car.
I know, it's a real ugly duckling. You know, that's a funny thing. And yet it also, once again, like I mentioned, the Uno Turbo, it goes like a bat out of hell,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost uncontrollable when you put your foot down. And that's what makes it fun, because the steering tugs you all over the road. You know, it's front-wheel drive, so the front wheels are spinning as it's trying to get traction, and the steering darts, the car darts to the left, then to the right, and it's accelerating like crazy. And it made it like life on the edge, you know, to drive that car very fast. So it's a lot of fun. Really, I think for that reason, very few of them have survived.
Oh,
and, so if you can get one now, you must obviously drive it a bit more gently and pamper it. But it is ugly, but it's a little bit like a bull terrier. It's got its own sort of unique charm.
Yeah, no, someone, a lady who's helping me with my garden, Joy, said she was describing one of the plants that's in the yard, and she's saying, oh, this one's a little thug. So you better watch that. So it sounds
exactly,
a little bit about this car, like it's a little bit of a thug. So be careful behind the wheel.
And it doesn't dress in the very best of taste either.
No.
Like the wheels are a bit too gold and the stripes are a bit too black, and, you know. But
no, it's an ugly duckling, this one.
Those are just interesting cars I picked out, you know, just this kind of, that the average person wouldn't normally think that they're collectible, but they actually have become collectible today amongst the classic car fraternity.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you took us from the Ferrari 250 GTO to Mitsubishi Tridia, so it's a fair list. It's a really fair list, Stuart. There's something in it for everyone. Unique cars. Thank you very much.
Well, it's quite a journey, eh? That's from, I think we should go the other way. We should go from the Mitsubishi Tridia up to the GTO.
Yes. Build up to something prettier.
Yes.
Thank you, Stuart.
It was so nice chatting to you, and I hope you're keeping warm on this icy day.
It's been icy. Yeah. Trying to. Thanks
you
a lot.
You notice I haven't mentioned any open sports cars there.
I think it's the cold that's inspired that. We'll see what the list looks like in summer. That'll be a completely different list, weather inspired. Yes, we'll do it again.
That's a great idea.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. And maybe we should.
Thanks so much, Susanna.
Yeah, Stuart. Maybe we should. We should do drop tops. Hey? Yeah, drop tops wanted. Cabriolets, some of the best and finest of those cabriolets. That was Stuart Johnston, veteran motoring journalist and Car Magazine's Joburg correspondent, looking at some of the rarest cars. It wasn't just the ones that demand top dollar, but also the little thugs that have been made over the years.